Hello, homies. Would you like to get your next order of homeopathic remedies for free? Then sign up to become an affiliate of Eugenie Kruger Homeopathy by visiting eugeniekruger.com/affiliates. You will receive an affiliate code, which you can give to your friends and family. They can then use your code when they purchase products at eugeniekruger.com and they will receive 5% off their first order. The best part is that you will receive 5% of whatever they purchase through our site for their first year. This will go as a store credit on your account. So when you're ready to stock up on our amazing remedies and other products, your credit will be sitting there waiting for you. How amazing is that? So check out www.eugeniekruger.com/affiliates. Right now in Australia, the state of Victoria is having their elections until 26 November. Victorians have been through some of the longest lockdowns, restrictions, and mandates in the world, all because medical authorities would not allow proven natural prevention and treatment options to be used against COVID. Don't allow this to happen again. For freedom, prosperity, and health, vote one for Dr. Isaac Golden and the Health Australia Party team. To find out more, listen to episode 126 of this podcast or visit www.healthaustraliaparty.com.au. Hello everyone, Eugenie here. Today I had an amazing interview with homeopath and author Ruth Hull. The conversation was super fun because we went into all sorts of different areas that I didn't think we would go into, but realized that this is actually very important for our listeners to know, things such as what can you do to get the most out of your homeopathic consultation and what sort of information might be helpful. And Ruth also shares a couple of amazing cases with us and how she got into specializing in chronic fatigue and helping her clients in that area. So Ruth is a homeopath here in Perth, and she trained as a homeopathic doctor and complementary therapist, and she's been helping people rediscover their energy and take back control of their health since 1999. You would definitely never say it because she only looks like a spring chicken herself. She is a picture of health. So she also teaches anatomy and physiology, and she runs postgraduate training courses for qualified complementary therapists or health coaches who wish to extend their skills. And yes, even I am going to be enrolling in her course next year for anatomy and physiology, so I'm very excited about that. So she has a fascination with the human body and a deep belief that we are created to heal ourselves. And she's written 4 books, anatomy and physiology and pathophysiology, as well as reflexology. So you can find her books on Amazon or on her website, and we'll link those in the show notes. So let's jump straight into the interview. This was a real goodie.
Welcome to the Homeopathy Hangout podcast, where we discuss all things homeopathy from around the world. And now your host, Eugenie Kruger.
Hello everyone, and a very warm welcome to Homeopathy Hangout. Today, we are hanging out with homeopath and author Ruth Hull. Welcome, Ruth.
Hi, Eugenie. Thanks.
Hi. It's so lovely to have you on here. We're both busy mums with busy practices, and we've been trying to catch up for ages. So this is very special to get to have some time to chat with you, because you've done so much and I can't wait to delve into all of it. But before we dig in, tell us, how did you first discover homeopathy?
It's quite difficult to say. My mum always used it. So I grew up with homeopathy and natural therapies. When I was a child, if I was sick, we would go to bed. We wouldn't really take any medication. And we would drink tea. My mum's English, so we would drink a lot of tea and stay in bed. And then in my early 20s, well, I must have been about 1920, I bought myself one of those little Helios homeopathy kits for traveling. And I did a lot of traveling, and I used that everywhere I went. I was just blown away by how powerful homeopathy was. At one stage, we were in the Atacama Desert, and we were with somebody who had actually collapsed. He had completely gone unconscious because he had had such bad diarrhea and vomiting. Mm-hmm. And we were a long way away from any help, and there was a Bolivian doctor with us, and he got my homeopathy kit, and he got China, and we sat next to this guy, and every now and then he'd just slip a little pill of China under this guy's tongue, or just into his mouth, because he was unconscious, and the guy came round, and he was fine, and that was just, oh my gosh. But I,
wow. And then I so much for placebo.
Exactly. And then I used, I studied natural therapies, but not homeopathy, and I practiced as a complementary therapist. And I had my children and I used homeopathy for them. And it was only when my second daughter was 2 years old that I actually started studying homeopathy itself. So I've used it most of my life, and it's incredible. I love it.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Now, you're also a very well-published author, and I believe there's even more books in the pipeline. Can you tell us a little bit about what you've written about and how you came upon that?
Yeah, I am... Before I studied complementary therapies, I studied literature and philosophy. I've always been a little bibliophile. I love to read, and I've always loved to write. And then I've written 4 books. They're all health-related, 2 on anatomy, physiology, and pathology, because that's another love of my life. I have many loves. And 2 on reflexology. I wrote them 10 years ago. I just brought out the second editions last year. And now I'm sort of, I would be lying if I said I was halfway through. I'm sort of still near the beginning of a book on chronic fatigue and burnout.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Is that something you see a lot of in your clinic?
Yes, that's what I love. I love to work with patients who are struggling with fatigue, burnout, or insomnia. That's my main interest with homeopathy, yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that? So how did that become a special interest for you, and what sort of cases do you see, and maybe some stories from the clinic?
Yeah, it became a special interest because I personally have struggled with fatigue for years. I think trying to be a super mum and trying to do it all, I'm an overachiever. I just am. I always have been. I think Eugenie might be the same. And... I've always struggled with energies. It's always just been a problem with me, and also sleep. I'm one of those people who lie awake at night, even now, still thinking of my clients or thinking, oh, should I have given them this remedy? Should I have given them that? Or work I've got to do. So it's...
Sounding very familiar.
I'm familiar. It's been a long journey for me. But I did find, and I think this is when I really got into homeopathy and decided to study it, I found homeopathy was the only thing that really helped me. I used herbs for many years. I used a lot of different complementary therapies because that's what I worked in. Mm. But the deep, deep homeopathic remedies like carcinosin and ignatia, those are what just changed my whole energy, just shifted me. And that's why I'm so passionate about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what sort of cases do you see? So what do you see in your clinic? And do you maybe have some stories that you can share from the clinic, some case studies?
Yes, I see a variety of cases. I'm surprised at how many teenagers I see with chronic fatigue. It's quite heartbreaking, actually. Even I've had 2 girls, 12 and 13 even, so young. But the majority of people I see are... people in their 40s, 50s who have kids, usually real A-type personalities, overachievers. On the outside, they're super successful, very, very successful in business, real go-getters. I have so much admiration for them, but they struggle with their energy. And sometimes people end up in bed for months on end because they just can't get out. So it's quite heartbreaking. But a lot of, I think a lot of fatigue stems from childhood, from trauma. So beneath a lot of these sort of great, big, successful facades is a lot of trauma. So that's what I love to work with. And I love how homeopathy, I'll just give you a little story. I had a client last year. And she came, because sometimes it's not the traumas we think it is, and this is what surprises me. She came, she's in her late 50s, a beautiful woman, and she just came, she said, I don't know what's wrong with me, I'm just not myself, I haven't been myself for a couple of years, I just don't have the energy to do anything anymore. So she didn't have your typical picture of burnout, but she just knew something was wrong. She had been to all her GPs and... you know, they've done all the tests and everything's fine. Maybe she needs antidepressants. That's what a lot of GPs say. So I have a lot of clients who come and they say, I've been prescribed antidepressants, but I know I'm not depressed. I'm not depressed. I'm just tired. And she just had a very, very red cheeks, like terrible red. It wasn't a rash. It was just this red dry skin dispersed on her cheeks, on the tops of her hands, and the tops of her feet. It was really strange. I took her case and I said, have you lost anyone? Have you had any trauma? And she had lost her sister from cancer many years ago, but she felt she had dealt with it. She was actually a therapist herself, and she said, no, I've dealt with it. I'm fine. So I kept delving. With homeopathy, you always have to find the cause. there's always a cause somewhere. And we chatted for a while, and then she started telling me about, so I said to her, okay, just let's go back to your sister and just tell me more about what happened when she died. And she started talking about when she was in the hospital and how the staff there had made her feel a bit of an outsider. And she just suddenly burst into tears, and she started crying like a little child. She was just, and she's like, I can't believe I've been crying like this. I don't know what's wrong with me. But she cried and cried and cried. In the room, I gave her Ignatia 10M, and I didn't give her any other remedy. And then she came back a few weeks later. I wanted to see how she was. And she said to me, she felt amazing after she left my room. And she just felt so good that whole day. But she woke up the next morning feeling good, got into the shower, and she said she just broke down and started crying again. And she cried and cried and cried. And she said after that, she looked in the mirror and the redness had gone. And she's never, so I saw her a few weeks ago. That's why she's in my mind. She came a few weeks ago, and it had been a year since I'd seen her. And she said she's never had the redness again. Everything's changed. It was beautiful. She's like got so much energy. She's changed. She's left her job. She's changed a lot of things. But so I love it when I have clients like that. I don't always have such success. sometimes it's a bit more difficult. But yeah, just one powder, Ignatia 10 in one.
Beautiful.
And yeah, beautiful.
That's such a beautiful case. You've actually, as you were saying that, made me think of something. Quite often, clients will come in and they will be therapists themselves, or they're people that have done a lot of work on themselves. And, you know, I also mostly treat mothers. And I think when you go on this journey of motherhood, I always say there's no better personal development course in the world than becoming a mother, because it will challenge your everything. Yes. It's the, you know, like a fast track personal development course. And so often these mums have done a lot of courses, they've done a lot of personal development, they've done meditation, they've seen therapists, they've seen psychologists, they've seen, you know, psychics, everything. And then we will ask them about something that's happened in their life and they'll say, oh no, I've dealt with that. Yes. But then as homeopaths, we always go back to that, because the thing is, you might have dealt with it on like a mental level, but homeopathy, because it works energetically, you might think that you've dealt with that thing, but the remedy will get in there on an energetic level and remove that from your vital force, that shock, that fright, that trauma, that grief. And then, so I hear what you're saying, and I can see these mums, they're reluctant to go there again because they feel they don't want to rehash what they've already done. And I always say to them, just humor me for a little bit. I know you've done a lot of work on this, but just tell me what happened a little bit more. And once you get that right remedy and it gets in there, it can be so profound. Hey, but like you said, not all our cases are that easy, but I would say 10% of my cases probably are like that.
Yeah.
But usually it's more, you know, follow up after follow up, just removing those layers, working, doing some organ support, you know. And you have a very special arrow in your arsenal, and that is that you are an integrative health coach as well. Yes. So tell me more about why you believe that's important alongside the homeopathy, and a little bit more about how you would approach a case and your holistic approach that you use.
Yes, so I had been practicing homeopathy only for a few years, and I realized that clients come and they keep coming regularly, and they think that the pill is going to make them better. So whether it's a herb or a pharmaceutical drug or homeopathic remedy. They rely totally on the remedy, and they don't take responsibility for their own health. And I saw this in particular with diabetes. When I worked in South Africa, I had a lot of clients who were diabetic, and they would come regularly for their homeopathic remedies, which would help with their blood sugars. I was practicing more clinically then, and they would keep coming back, and I would say to them every time, you've got to change the way you eat, you've got to cut out that cake, blah, blah, blah. Yes, Ruth, yes, yes, yes. And the next time they'd made no changes, actually started really frustrating me. And that's when I realized it wasn't the clients, it was me, and it was the way I spoke to my clients. And so I studied health coaching, and just a different way of working with your clients and making them responsible, and instead of trying to be responsible as the homeopath, and making them realize that they I said this to you earlier, mm-hmm. and my clients hate it when I say it, and I know that if I was one of their clients, I would hate it as well. I think we make ourselves sick and we keep ourselves sick. And it's the little things we do every single day at home that is either making us or keeping us sick. Mm-hmm. And so it's the little things that we need to change. So that's what I really focus on when I work with clients. I'm always giving them homework and just little changes, little habits that they need to change or tweak. Not big things. I think if we try and change everything in one go, we won't have success. But if we make little changes and become responsible for our health, and also just very aware of our emotions and what we've been through in life, instead of just ignoring everything as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You've just said that beautifully. I think whether it's your health or your finances or your relationships or whatever, it's those tiny habits that we do, that we build on. And, you know, if you just do a tiny little change, you look back over a month or a year or whatever, they all build on each other. But it can become really overwhelming if you have somebody with serious chronic health and they have to cut out the coffee, they have to cut out the sugar, they have to cut out, you know, this or that or the next thing, all the cakes. It can be really overwhelming. But yeah, making those little changes makes it seem a little bit more approachable, hey?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
So, what inspires you about homeopathy? What do you like about being a homeopathic practitioner? What keeps you ticking?
Oh, where do I begin? I love the philosophy and the beauty and the art of homeopathy. So I'm fascinated by the human body. I'm fascinated by anatomy and physiology and how the body works. But homeopathy brings to that just something really beautiful, and to me, homeopathy is medicine for the soul. So when you work with a patient, you aren't working with a disease, you're doing soul therapy, and nothing can touch the soul like homeopathy can, and nothing can bring together the entire picture like homeopathy can. So instead of seeing a person with a disease, you see them as just on a certain stage of their journey in life. And, you know, so I work a lot with people with fatigue and people who've gone through a lot of trauma. And I work a lot with women who have been sexually abused. And I find that often you can't take a person back to that abuse. You can't take them back to that instant or those many instances of trauma. And that's why they avoid going to psychotherapists or counselors a lot, because they don't want to relive it and they shouldn't have to. And that's where I find homeopathy beautiful. It holds people. This is what I say to my patients is, it doesn't take you back to where you've been. It holds you and keeps you safe and gives you strength to move forward and to let go of what you've been through. So that's, homeopathy, it's just, there's so many layers to it. It works beautifully on a clinical, physical level, but it just works so much deeper than anything I've worked with. And I've been in natural health, 22 years now. So I've been around the block, and it always comes to homeopathy.
Well, you don't look much older than 22, so you're doing a great job. Whatever you're doing, keep it up. And you have two beautiful daughters as well, I believe.
I do.
Yeah, and how do they feel about homeopathy? Do they use it much themselves? Because they're teenagers now, right?
They're teenagers now, yes. Mm-hmm. So I've got a lot of pulsatilla going in the house at the moment.
Do you? You might have to share the insider joke on that one, because we're talking to the general public, so they might not get the joke.
The pulsatilla is a lovely remedy for hormonal teenagers. Teenage girls, where there's a lot of emotions and tears and ups and downs of moods. Especially when they first start their periods and going through that. So, I have two teenage girls and they're beautiful. I've always used homeopathy on them. And they actually know a lot, which is great. I think I drive them mad because I'm always going on about what they should be eating and stuff. And there's quite a lot of arguments in our house because they love, like, bubble teas and Coke, frozen. But I think homeopathy is just part of their lives, which is great. And I have a very supportive husband, so
that really helps.
Yeah,
I love that you're so real about the frozen Coke, because at the end of the day, we're all human and it's all about balance. And, you know, sometimes I see clients who they have immaculate diets. They only eat organic. They only eat vegan. They don't have any Wi-Fi in the house. Everything's hardwired, you know, like just going to the complete other extreme of then actually making themselves so sick of stressing about having everything pure and perfect. But I think if we strive for balance, you can't really beat that, because we still live in this world where we're exposed to Wi-Fi, we're exposed to, you know, so many different things from all angles. So we got to kind of keep it real and keep it balanced and, you know, keep it realistic.
Yes. And, you know, I used to do a lot of work with people with cancer. That was something I really loved working with. And I saw it again and again, people who led perfect lives in terms of health. They ate very, very cleanly. They exercised. But they were neurotic about their health.
Mm.
And they ignored their emotions and they ignored their stress and their grief.
Mm.
And I see it a lot. We think that to become healthy, we need to eat right, we need to exercise. We do need to do those things.
We do. In balance.
We need that balance. We need to really connect with ourselves and let ourselves be who we are, instead of trying to suppress or repress or be someone different as well. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, you know, just like as an example, if a friend was inviting you over for a coffee, but it happened to, you know, coincide with your 9 a.m. morning run, and you say no to your friend because you have to do that run, like sometimes you need to go for the coffee with your friend because you need that interaction, or, you know, like just finding balance, I think, in everything. That's certainly become my thinking, because I was somebody that was very all or nothing. So I was very much the one side. And then, you know, very much we were raised with pharmaceutical medication. So I used to be very pro medical profession. And then I studied natural medicine. And then I was completely the opposite and probably lost a lot of friends because of it. I think some of my views were very radical.
Yeah.
And then realized, actually, you need to be somewhere in the middle. We need to do what keeps us happy, healthy, balanced, and just, our mental, emotional well-being is so important as well.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I also think, just going back to having teenage daughters and not being too extreme, I say this to a lot of my clients, if you are too extreme in what they eat, it becomes a big fight, and it becomes a fight for control, because kids, little toddlers, they need their control, and teenagers as well. So I like to say, what I try to practice is to eat healthily at home, not to have too much rubbish at home. But when the kids go out, they can do what they like. But it's, you know, every day at home, if you eat pretty well, then once in a while it's fine to go out and, you know, enjoy that chocolate cake.
Absolutely. And then actually really enjoy it and not feel guilty about it.
exactly.
Yeah. And I love what you're saying about, you know, eating healthy at home, because I always say kids will do what you do. They won't do what you say. So always setting that example, because they are going to look at what your example is and what's mum doing, not what she's saying, what's she actually doing. And that's what really leaves that imprint. Hey.
Yes.
Sorry, we've completely gone off track, but tell us a little bit more. Have you got any other cases from your clinic, perhaps that you would like to share with our listeners, or anything else, perhaps new that you've recently learned about homeopathy, or that's exciting for you at the moment, or anything else that you want to share?
Another case that's just come to mind is one I had a few years ago, and I thought I'll share it because I know a lot of the listeners are homeopaths or use homeopathy at home. It's also, I had a client with chronic fatigue, and she came to me, and this is like keynote prescribing almost, but I was quite amazed at the results. I took a case and I really couldn't see a remedy. A lot of clients with fatigue, it's just generalized fatigue. There's nothing specific there. And so I just started chatting to her more about herself and her life and stuff. And this helped me realize the importance of getting to know your clients as a person and an individual, instead of just looking for a remedy and instead of just looking at a disease. So I started chatting to her, and she told me that she had 19, this is in South Africa, so she had a big property. She had 19 cats, and I'm like, oh my gosh, are you a mad cat person? And we started talking about cats because I love cats. And she said they were all rescue cats. And that's when I thought, oh, 19 rescue cats. Okay, that's interesting. And I said, do you like to rescue everything? And she said, yes, actually, on her way to the clinic today to see me, she had stopped at a red traffic light. In South Africa, the traffic lights is always beggars. It's quite heartbreaking, but she had stopped at the traffic light and there was a beggar, and she just emptied the entire contents of her purse to the beggar. And I suddenly realized this is somebody, and then she started talking about, you know, sort of poverty and people's rights and ethics, and she really got really passionate about this. And I started thinking, oh, Causticum
yeah. would have been my first guess.
Yes. And so then I just thought, I just want to double check this. So I said, you've got nothing physically wrong with you. And she said, nothing. And I said, what about your hands and feet? Do you have any things like contractures or anything? And she said, actually, funny you ask it. And she showed me her hands and her feet were like this, like all contracted. And I was like, oh, my gosh, Causticum. So I gave her Causticum M. I gave her 3 doses, one each morning for 3 days. And the next thing, she came into my reception a few days later saying, what did you give me? I don't know what's happened. And she said this cloud that she'd also been prescribed antidepressants, and she knew she didn't need them. And she said that after the first powder, so she obviously didn't need the 3 doses that I had given it. She said after the first powder, she said this cloud just lifted. This cloud just lifted. And, she sent a lot of patients to me, which is great. But it just shows that sometimes we try to look too much for a disease picture in homeopathy, when actually you need to look at the person. You need to see what they like and what they love and what they hate and stuff like that. Yeah.
I have to sort of something fun to ask you, and that is, you know, when people are new to homeopathy, they don't know the things that we need to know about them to be able to help them, if that makes sense. So we need to know some pretty random things about a person that they would never think to tell us. Never, never in a million years you would think that this little bit of information is going to help this person, you know, prescribe the right remedy for me. So have you got some ideas for somebody listening to this at the moment thinking, I would like to go see a homeopath? What sort of homework can you give them of things to think about that would be useful for their practitioner to know to help them?
That's a good question.
Sorry to spring this one on you, but I was just thinking, you know, people will be listening to this and they, yeah, there's things that we need to know in the clinic that they people just wouldn't think of telling us. So if you've got some bright ideas, sorry to spring this on you.
No, someone should put it on the website, actually. More people come to. So I think clients need to be aware that we will always ask about their childhood, and I think any loss or any trauma or any fright, and sometimes it can be something small and random, like maybe when you were a kid, you forgot your shoes at home and you went to school and you got into trouble and it really affected you. So things that, if I ask you, what memory do you have in your life of something that really upset you? The first thing that comes to mind, write it down, bring that into your homeopath, because it doesn't always have to be a big thing. It's got to be what really sticks in your mind. I also think it's really important for homeopaths to know what foods you love and what you don't like. And people often think that's such a weird question. Mm-hmm. But if you've got a buffet of food in front of you, all the food in the world, and you can eat any of it, so don't think about health, but think about what you love, what would you choose? And what do you really not like? What would you not eat? I think foods really help homeopaths and, you know, just sort of refine everything down to the right remedy. And what else? Whether you love animals, how you feel towards animals, that's a big one as well. And, of course, dreams. Just what kind of dreams you have in the feel in your dreams as well. Mm-hmm. Now, are you anxious? Are you laughing? Are you feeling out of control? Feeling in your dreams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always say to people what, like they will say their dreams and I will ask them, what does that mean to you?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can get books about dreams and it will tell you it means this and that. But at the end of the day, it's what the dream signifies for that client that really makes.
Yeah.
And be prepared to talk a lot about your poos, wheeze, periods, snot, anything coming out of your body. We're going to be talking about the color, the consistency, the smell, the frequency.
Exactly. Children love that topic, but adults don't.
Often. Yeah. And, you know, you can see that when you start talking about, you know, stools and people start tensing up, that even that gives you an idea of the type of remedy that person needs, because some people will be very open to talk about their stool straight away and other people will just clam up. And I always say to people, we can just talk about anything you like, because sometimes just even the way they say it or the way they hold their body or the words that they use, do they swear a lot or do they use one particular word a lot? All of that can give us a clue as to, you know, what remedy can help a person.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And I actually, I had a new client recently and I've been really struggling with her case. She's got a severe lung infection. And when she first came to me, I was so worried about the lung infection that we just focus on the infection. And I gave her remedies and they've made no difference at all. And then I started stressing. And I called her, I asked her to come back actually last Friday. So I don't know how she's doing yet. And I said to her, I don't want you to talk about your lungs at all. I don't want to know about your cough. Let's just talk about you. Mm-hmm. And we started talking, and then she started talking about her mum. And I noticed that every time she spoke about her mum, she'd start coughing.
Ah.
So then I just started asking her more questions, tell me more about the mum. And as she started speaking, she got this terrible coughing fit, terrible, terrible coughing fit. And she couldn't stop coughing. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to have to take her to the hospital. And she said, please just get me some boiling water. And I said, she says, boiling water is the only, hot water is the only thing that stops me coughing. And I said to her, hot, or should I put some water in so it's lukewarm? She said, no, as hot as possible. So then I gave her the hot water and she stopped coughing. And then we spoke more about her mom. And as she spoke, everything was about being trapped. And then I said, okay, let me just repertorize this. So I only took two rubrics. I looked at mind or delusions trapped and cough better for hot water. And Russ Tox came up. So I would never, ever have thought of rest tops for her cough. And then I read the cough and it was like actually word for word of what she's got. So I'll let you know. But that's what I've given her now. And hopefully that'll help because nothing else has helped.
Amazing. And I'm just, you know, for people listening to this, that's why the follow-ups are so important, because sometimes we just need to get to know you a little bit better. Sometimes we need to know what's quirky about you, what sort of things trigger you, what sort of, you know, like just kind of, you kind of, I don't know how you would describe it, kind of mesh with that person's soul in a way, almost like you just, you know, trying to experience what it is that they're experiencing, so you can find the remedy out of the 8,000 plus remedies that has that energy in it to help them. So sometimes, you know, we get it straight away, but sometimes you just need to really get to sit with that person a bit and get to know them a little bit better. And sometimes that does mean spending a few hours with them. So it'll be an initial and a few follow-ups to really get to the bottom of the essence of what it is that they, you know, what it is that they need, where the healing needs to happen. So,
Yes, that's it. And it is difficult because people expect, because you hear so many wonderful stories about homeopathy, people expect a cure after one powder, and it doesn't always happen. Actually, it very seldom happens. And that's why the follow-up and honest feedback, sometimes you get people who just want to please you, and they say, yes, yes, I'm feeling much better. And they're not. And I always say, please just be honest. Just be completely honest. If there's been no change, we'll change the remedy. If there's been a slight change, we know we're on the right track. So, yeah, we need that honesty.
Yeah, we wouldn't do this if we had fragile egos. So, yeah, be honest with us, because that helps us to help you. So absolutely, I couldn't agree more. And you do have the people pleasers that will just say, oh, yeah, I feel better. And you're like, really? Really? So, no, but then obviously, yeah, you do get those miraculous improvements as well. But more often than not, it does take time of. And sometimes it can be such odd things. Like it can be, you know, Hilary Dorian actually gave this example once where she was treating a lady, I think it was, I can't remember what for, I think it was for eczema. And she did a phone consult one day because the lady couldn't come in. She had seen her for lots and lots of follow-ups and nothing was working. And then this one day she was going past the lady's house to drop something off. And then she realized the lady lives in an aeroplane flight path. And of course, they've got all this petrol dumping on them. And she realized this is where this lady's living. So it's a maintaining cause. She's got these airplanes going over her, dropping this jet fuel. And she gave her the remedy petroleum, which is made from petrol. And apparently that was a miraculous cure. So, you know, like there was probably nothing that the lady could have said in the consult that would have maybe triggered it. But actually going to her home, seeing, oh, this is where you live. This is what happens to you every single day. Let's give you this remedy. So sometimes it can be the little magical thing. And so often in the last 2 minutes of the consult, when you say, okay, now we're done. And the person's like, oh, I need to go off to this or that. And you're like, where are you going? Oh, okay, we need to talk about that. Yes. So, yeah, it can be often the offhand comments, hey, that can really get you to that right remedy.
Yes, yeah. And actually, you saying that reminds me, when I studied homeopathy, my diagnostics lecturer, she was amazing, and she said that the remedy often comes in the last, like, 2 or 3 minutes of the consult because, and she says often when you are sort of doing a physical exam of your clients. And it's so true. I've taken cases for an hour and a half, and at the very, very end, when I'm just checking the client physically, they just will say, oh, by the way, and I know when they say that they're going to give me something big that I've never shared this before or whatever, but this happened to me. It's often just in the last few minutes that people actually, they realize that something that happened, whatever, is so vital to their case, and they've got the trust to share it as well. Or sometimes it can be a few consults along as well.
There's a couple of things that clients say that get me very excited. One of it is, I've never told anyone this before. The second one is, this is going to sound really strange. And the third one is, I don't know if this is worth mentioning. When they preface with that, then I'm like, yes, this is going to be awesome.
Yes. And to all the your clients out there, nothing sounds strange to a homeopath. We love
nothing
strange, bizarre things.
I always joke and say we have got a, this is actually true, so it's not a joke, but it's true. We have a, what we call a rubric, which is our symptoms that are in our, we often have, we have computer software that we use to put your symptoms in, and then it tells us which remedies relate to that. And those symptoms are called rubrics. And we have one rubric in this software that says, he feels that he has been commanded by a mushroom to fall on his sword and kill himself. And that is the remedy made from the agaricus mushroom, the fly agaric with the red mushroom with the white dots. And I am still waiting 10 years later for that client to come in and say, I've never told anyone about this before, but every time I open the fridge door and I see the mushroom, I feel like it's going to tell me to fall on my sword and kill myself. So basically what we're saying, there's nothing that you can tell a homeopath. It's going to sound too weird. We've heard it all.
Yeah.
So Ruth, I was just going to chat because you did your training in South Africa, right?
Yes.
And they have very rigorous training over there. I think it would be, you know, equivalent to India and I think South America, where they actually train alongside medical doctors. Yes. So can you tell me a little bit about your training that you received?
Yes. At the time, I didn't realize how lucky I was to receive such training. But now that I'm here, I realize how lucky I was. So it is a 5-year full-time degree. And when I say full-time, I mean 8 a.m. till 5, sometimes 6 p.m., 5 days a week. The first 3 years are the same as medicine in South Africa. So the first 3 years is mainly your anatomy, physiology, pathology, diagnostics. You have a full body to dissect, 2 years of dissection. It's incredible. I loved it. Histology, epidemiology, it was just, I loved it. So that's the first 3 years, and you do a little bit of homeopathic philosophy as well. And then the last 3 years are more homeopathy, nutrition. You do nutrition. You do phytotherapy, which is herbs. You do your tissue salts, your batch flower remedies, iridology. And in those last in your last 3 years, so your third, fourth, and fifth year, you also work in clinic, being overseen all the time. So you work at the university I was at, had a lovely clinic. And you also go to government hospitals as well on the wards. You do ward rounds and government clinics in the rural area. So really, really hands-on. Wow. And then after your 5 years, you've got 2 years to do a master's thesis, write up a master's thesis, and carry on getting your patient hours if you haven't finished that, so carry on at clinics. So it's very, very in-depth training. Yeah, I appreciate it now. I did lots of cursing and swearing at the time, but I appreciate it now. Yeah.
That's incredible. The medical doctors that study alongside you, when you said about you studying nutrition, do they also do nutrition, the medical doctors?
No, no. So so we do the same as medical doctors the first 3 years, mm-hmm. but ours is purely homeopathy. Mm-hmm. In the homeopathy department. So there's no medical doctors mm-hmm. in the homeopathy department.
Yeah. I was just thinking how what a shame that is that the doctors don't learn about nutrition as well, because it seems like such a fundamental thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a pity.
Wow.
It's a pity. And what's great is a lot of the, well, actually, I knew two homeopaths who trained a year ahead of me who were actually training at one of the universities in anatomy and physiology, the medical doctors afterwards. So I thought that was quite cool. Yeah.
Interesting. Yes. Absolutely. Yes. So is there, what is the message that you would like to get out there to the general public, anyone listening to this podcast? What have you got any messages about health, homeopathy, well-being that you would like to get across?
Yes, I think at the end of the day, your health is in your own hands. Don't try and make anyone else responsible for it. And take it slowly. Realize that health is just, it's a journey. We don't have to be perfect. Nobody is perfect. Nobody is completely healthy. And I think, actually, this has just come to my mind, but every illness, every symptom is giving us a little message. It's, you know, so when you are sick, don't see it as a weakness or as if you're losing a battle or anything like that. See it as your body and your soul are just trying to tell you something. Yeah, so listen to your body, listen to the symptoms and see what they're saying.
I love that message so much. There's that Louise Hay book, You Can Heal Your Life, and she, yeah, and there's more and more practitioners coming out with how, depending on what area of your body is diseased, you know, as to the message. So often, you know, the breasts will be to do with nurturing and mothering and all that sort of stuff. And this is a little bit offbeat, but as you said that, I was just thinking about, there's the ute that I often drive past, and it's got this big sticker on the back with a pink ribbon, and it says FU cancer. And whenever I see that, I get really sad, because I think, like, people think it's something to be fought, but actually it's a lesson that you need to learn from. And that's why often this cutting out a diseased part of the body, or just, you know, trying to suppress it somehow, the body's trying to teach you something, it's trying to make you grow, it's trying to make you learn. So just cutting it out or suppressing it or trying to make it, you know, go away in some way, it's always going to come back, because until you've learned that lesson that goes along with what your body's trying to tell you by expressing these symptoms, until you learn that life lesson or that, you know, it's going to keep on coming back. So yeah, sorry, that's offbeat, but just whenever I see this, I think, I feel really sad for that person, because they're not seeing that this can actually be something that you can grow from and heal from and learn from.
Yes, that's it. Yeah. And I think if you see your illness or your health condition as something you can learn from and grow from and improve on.
It's telling you that your body's telling you it's not happy with something. So find out what it is, heal that, and then the symptoms will go away.
Yes, and actually, I have. So I tend to run myself into the ground. I'm very good at that, and I have a little signal from my body when I know I'm getting run down. It's like, I get a sore throat, and it just won't go away no matter what. And I ignore it. Then I gargle and I do this and I do that and it still doesn't shift, and then I remember, actually, I need to slow down. Yes. We need to listen to our bodies.
Absolutely. Now, just to finish off on a little bit of fun, tell me your top three remedies for you personally and why.
Okay, so my top three remedies, the ones that have changed my life, I think, are firstly Ignatia. I've lost a lot of people in my life, so I've had a lot of grief. And Ignatia, it shifted something in me. The first time I was given it, I was given Ignatia 10M. And I, like my one poor patient who I gave it to, I cried for like 3 days without stopping. I had to, I couldn't go into work on the Monday because my husband said I looked like I'd been beaten up. My eyes were so puffy. But it shifted, like nothing else could. It just helped me move forward. So Ignatia is, I love it for grief and loss. Carcinosin as well is my other remedy. Carcinosin is a remedy for people who grow up with a lot of stress, grow up in a stressful environment, and who...
Lots of pressure.
Yes, a lot of pressure, and who don't... Carcinosin was first described to me as a person who feels that they're a little island and that they constantly need to try and protect themselves, and they don't realize that they are actually powerful and strong, and they don't need to keep fighting and trying to protect themselves. Mm-hmm. So carcinosin's a beautiful remedy. And then I think for me, bryonia, because I tend to overwork and overdo things. And bryonia is my other remedy.
Amazing. Now, before we say goodbye, Ruth, tell our listeners how they can get hold of you, your books, your work, where can they engage with you?
So you can find me at ruthhull.com. That's ruthhull.com. My books are on there. My books are also available on Amazon and bookdepository.com. And my online courses, I'm going to be doing a lot of online courses, mainly in anatomy and physiology. So if you are interested in learning anatomy and physiology, then I haven't got it on my website yet, but in January it'll all be up. But just join my mailing list on ruthhull.com. If you subscribe to my mailing list, then I can keep you up to date with all my online courses. And I am on Facebook and Instagram, sort of. I'm not very good at it. It's Ruth Hull Natural Therapies. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, it's been super fun chatting with you today. Thank you so much for your time, and we'll catch up again very soon.
Yes, thanks, Eugenie. Thank you for your time. Okay.